Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to episode 50 of the Barbershop Window Podcast. I am your host, as always, Chris Vigilante, currently alongside my best buddy, Rob Zanzanator. How are you this evening, Rob?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
I am good. I am tired, but I am good. We are here, and we're going to be talking about NXT TakeOver, which occurred last night on the WWE Network. At least that's what we're going to mainly focus on. We're supposed to be joined by Shane as well. He hasn't arrived yet. Surprise, surprise. But in the meantime, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Big day of laundry for me. Packing some bags. Getting ready for the long weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is a long weekend. So how's the weather down in Florida? Because I can tell you in New York, it sucks.
It's pretty cold here. It's about, I think, 69 degrees. State of emergency when it dips below, I think, 70. So I'm here, you know, bundled inside. I went to the Walgreens across the street and stocked up on blankets and towels.
Wonderful. Sounds very hard.
Let's talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling before Shane gets in the line, because he's probably not even going to show up.
Okay. What would you like to discuss? I mean, I know they had their New Beginning show in Osaka last night. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen the results of the show, but I haven't seen the show yet. Have you actually seen the show?
I have not, so maybe we should wait and do that later. Save that. So that'll probably be a good.
Speaking of the mark, Shane, it looks like he's arrived. Let me get him involved in the conversation. Hello, Shane.
Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, can I'm driving to Macon, Georgia.
From Atlanta.
Yeah.
Did you run into Teddy Long?
No.
Oh, because that's where the players play.
Yep. Okay.
Chris,
so
what? No, Chris, no sound effects for that? Come on. I gave you softball.
I have a couple of new ones that I added, but none yet for that one. I don't know the appropriate sound effect for that.
I'll try harder.
Chris, right, why don't you tell our listeners about our new format that's coming soon?
I was getting to that wonderful intro. So,
what?
Yes.
Oh, what?
God, shut up. Shut up, man.
What?
So.
Shut the fuck up!
We got Stone Cold online.
Anyway, so
what?
This is. I'm muting your ass. Sorry, I warned you, buddy.
What?
Good job muting
him. I did mute him. So I'll get him back in a second. But anyway, yes. So the 50th episode of the show is special because not only are we celebrating our 50th show, but we're actually going to be changing formats a little bit starting after this week. So rather than our typical half-hour show that we, when we actually do them, we do once or twice, you know, maybe two or three times. Well, we did it, like, we used to do it three times a week, but now about twice. Now we will be doing one show per week for a longer stretch of time. It'll be like an hour or two, depending on how long we want to talk. The date and time isn't set for sure, but it's probably going to occur on Sunday afternoons. So that's going to be the new kind of layout that we're dealing with. So people can look forward to that. But before we,
I will probably be very drunk at that time. But.
On a Sunday afternoon? Well, then I think you should be looking into rehab facilities, my friend.
I like day drinking.
Hey, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. But anyway, so before we start talking about TakeOver, which is obviously probably the big topic of conversation for tonight, I think the question on everyone's mind and that our listeners are dying to know, Shane, how many times in the last 3 days have you looked at pictures of Seth Rollins' dick?
Am I off mute?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Just once.
Just one.
It's more than me.
I was going to say, no one believes that. And
I thought the whole thing, you know, the just like the pictures and everything coming out was pretty interesting. It's going to be interesting to see the repercussions of it. I thought that new girl is pretty hot, I guess. She's like a suicide chick with all the tattoos.
Yeah.
I know Chris loves her.
I actually did. Yeah,
I
thought she was really hot. Yes, I did.
Yeah,
her name
really
is
my type.
Her name is Zara Schreiber. That's her.
Oh,
that's
a great
name. Her
name.
But I think that's her actual name. I think she was just going by Zara in NXT, but. She was a developmental diva. She hasn't made it to TV yet because she's only apparently been with the company for a short period of time, but enough time to meet and, get involved with Seth Rollins. And obviously everyone knows by now, but basically it looks like his fiance found out that he was screwing around and, you know, posted first a naked picture of her on his Twitter feed.
I thought the whole thing was so funny. As somebody that's been in, like, this situation before many times, I know exactly what lies he was saying to his fiance, like, oh, some other guy, you know, Dean Ambrose sent me that picture of her. We don't have anything going on. I don't know how it was in my phone. And what's very funny thing is when you take a picture of your genitals like Seth Rollins did, as anybody knows, you never just take one picture. You take like an album of pictures, like a whole phone like full, and you choose the best one from that bunch. So it's very funny to think about Seth Rollins, the many photographs of himself that he has naked, with an erection on his phone. Pretty funny, the whole situation. It was great.
You're saying his dick was great, or the situation was great?
Damn it,
his penis actually,
right out
I thought, looked, his penis looked very much like mine. I'm not even joking, to the point where I recognized it. Like, I saw him naked, and I thought, like, is that a picture of me? But he was way, like, too cut, too hairy.
Is it
really hairy?
You look
guy.
Like a penis?
No, my team, my genital.
I don't understand.
There's nothing to not understand. Were you not listening to me? Was I on mute? I was saying
you're not. You're not.
All right, so now we'll talk about Better Call Saul. And
Fans of the show can look forward to pictures of Shane's dick and balls on Twitter coming soon.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. This is
it'll
all
actually be a picture
thing.
Of his face.
Nothing I said before was true. It's all a comedy. I hypothetically.
Okay. This is not very professional at all.
It will be next week with show 50.
Can we talk about Better Call Saul? I think that's one show that kind of snuck up on everyone, but the past two episodes ever on TV.
Have you seen them, Chris?
I did, yeah. I did watch them.
Oh, so maybe we could talk about these on during our next show.
We could. I think it's going to be, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I can't do a show this coming Sunday, but maybe next week.
Well, I was thinking starting kind of next Sunday, not this Sunday, since we're doing
Perfect.
A show tonight. But we'll figure it out. We'll work out all the kinks. As far as Better Call Saul and how it relates to wrestling, it'll be interesting to see how that show affects the Monday Night Raw ratings, since it's the time slot is on the final is during the final hour, right, of Raw, or one of the hours of Raw.
Yeah, I mean, I skipped Raw to watch it, so.
Is there anything else we want to discuss before we start talking about TakeOver? Do you want to dive into that?
Maybe the agreement between Sony and Marvel regarding the use of Spider-Man in Marvel Film Studio films?
I don't know if you got the memo, Rob, but we do a wrestling podcast.
Okay.
If you want to, hey, free flow, go do it.
I think we should talk about NXT Rival.
Yes. And
we have time to go match by match, definitely.
All right, first matchup was Hideo Itami, who, let me say something. I've been reading a lot about it. I haven't watched all of his matches. A lot of people are saying he's not totally acclimated just because his style is a little bit, or his moveset is very kick heavy. And I kind of caught on to that a little bit. I mean, I was watching out for it, so maybe I noticed it a little bit more. But I noticed at one point, I mean, he was kicking Tyler Breeze, so like it was maybe 80% of his arsenal were kicks. And he was obviously on the receiving end of a lot of beatdown for most of the match. So it was a weird the match was staged a little bit weirder, paced rather weirdly. What are you guys' thoughts about that and how he's progressing? Because, I mean, I think his in-ring performances in Japan compared to what he's done so far in NXT, and I don't know if that's because they're trying to change his style, but his style's not really totally changing. And then also the fact that he's teasing the go to sleep over and over, but not actually hit it. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
You want to go first, Shane?
Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Shane.
You want to go first?
Sorry, I'm just laughing at how unprofessional this podcast is. We were talking about Hideo Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was a great match. What a great opener. You know, just like, that's like kind of the definition of what a pay-per-view opener should be. Am I being hyperbolic? But just like a nice hot match with the, how long did it go? Like 8 minutes, like not too long, but enough to tell the story. I think Tyler Breeze is really great. I mean, he just plays, it's a heel role that we've seen a million times, from The Miz now to the model Rick Martel to
Fandango.
Yeah, everyone. But it's still, he does it very well. Like, my hat's off to him. And he's a handsome guy.
He had a selfie stick.
Which was very funny. And I obviously love Hideo. I love the tease of the GPS. I can't wait till he actually hits it. I think I agree with Rob. I think his style, you know, just with the kicks is, you know, he's going to take some time to get used to. I wish they'd keep Hideo and Finn as a tag team. I don't know why. I mean, obviously Finn's a superstar, but give him like the Rockers treatment for a little bit, except to have, you know, Marty Jannetty not do tons of drugs and fall off into obscurity. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you know, what you guys are saying. I thought it was a very good opener, the kind of match you want to open it. It was a very good back and forth match. There was, you know, like very, not only, you know, entertaining in the ring, but you know, I very much enjoyed Tyler Breeze's furry selfie stick. I got a big kick out of that when he came down with it. I love his character. Like I said, I worry about how it's going to translate into the main roster. You know, that with that gimmick, but I do love it. As far as the match itself, yeah. So it was good. It's as good as Itami has looked since he's gotten to NXT. But yeah, and I don't know if it's him or the company. But yeah, he definitely needs to diversify that offense a little bit, because definitely too many kicks going on. And I understand the use of the GTS, and it's great. And yeah, when he hits it, the crowd is gonna explode. But because of the fact that they're kind of saving that move, He doesn't really have a set finisher, and his finishes sort of come out of nowhere. I thought the finisher today was a little with that match was a little flat because I don't think people realized it was a finish until he got the three count. So they think I think they either need to have him start hitting the GTS sooner rather than later, or otherwise develop a clear finisher that is a little bit more impactful than just a running kick like that off the ropes. But the match itself was very good. It was a very good opening match, and like I said, I hope you know they keep a Tommy Strong, and you know hopefully actually I'm hoping for I think he might make a good heel if he turns down the line and have some matches again against Balor or Zayn or Neville or somebody like that just in a heel role I think could work for him. I think you know being that strong style could make him a good heel. So, but yeah, good match, definitely a good way to start another stellar show from NXT.
Second match was a tag team match.
Can we start making progress on these matches? Jesus.
The second match was a tag team match, I believe.
No, the second match was the no DQ match between Baron Corbin and Bo Dempsey.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch this one.
You didn't miss much.
Yes. Why don't you guys shut the F up? Shut up. I have a lot to say about this. I think Bull Dempsey is really I like him. Everyone talks about how he looks like awful and everything. Nobody talks about how he's awesome in the ring. How he's an awesome like natural heel. And if the WWE needs anything, they definitely need heel. I think he's some and why isn't he like feuding with Tyler Breeze or something? That's his like natural rival, like a good-looking guy. I think they're putting him in, like, next is unbelievable. So a slight criticism, I think they're putting him in the right spots. But I think Bull Dempsey's, like, good. I think he's, like, who knows what happens to him. But right now, a little bit of a missed opportunity since they're trying to put over Baron Corbin so well. We don't have to talk about this, but that's just my 2 cents. I think Bull Dempsey is, they have something there with him.
I just had something on mind that former ECW champion Rhino appeared at NXT. So maybe they're going to have him work with him. Just my 2 cents.
Or Corbin, because I would assume Rhino is probably a heel, right?
I don't know. All right, next match.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let me just say quickly about that match. Yeah, it wasn't anything special. Worthy of a no DQ stipulation because not much really happened. It was another relatively quick match that wasn't anything spectacular. And I feel bad because I agree with you, Shane. I actually like Bull Dempsey and his character. And
oh, wow. We agree on one
succeeded.
Thing.
Yeah.
Moving
and
on.
We succeeded in him irrelevant because he's jobbed 3 times in a row to Corbin in very quick matches. So I'm not really
Rob,
happy.
What should we do?
He should have at least gotten one win out of those 3 matches.
All right, we had nothing to talk about this match. Let's move on.
Hey, that was like 10 seconds. Shut up and move on.
That's what I just said twice.
All right, go.
Tag team match. I didn't watch this one either. You guys can talk about it.
Your analysis is stellar.
Yeah, they are.
If you don't watch the product, it doesn't make sense. We
There's
have
no reason
to
watch the last
fans.
Match. It sucked. You guys both said it.
Well, okay, so the tag team title match was there. Could have been a good match. It would have been a good, you know, it could have been good, but it was like
but it
the
wasn't,
match was basically
it.
An episode of Botchamania.
Shocking. I don't know why.
All right, yeah, well, I'm sure you didn't know that while it was going on that there was going to be Botchamania.
I knew before it happened it was going to be a bad match.
Yeah, Rob's sort
okay.
of vindicated here. I don't want to talk about it either. Let's just move on.
Fucking Jesus. All right, so go ahead.
Women's match. Didn't watch that one either.
All right, well, you're a fucking idiot because that was the best show of the night, I think.
Absolutely. You are an idiot because
yeah.
that was the match of the night.
That was the match of the night. That was awesome.
Yeah, but that actually
tell,
wasn't
tell me
the
all
next
about
match.
It, guys.
The next match was Balor and Neville, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So, So.
All right, talk about the women.
May I say something about
Balor
the Balor? I'd like to weigh in on the Balor and Neville match.
Please do.
Well, I'll go first, since I'm the leader. Very minor criticism, but I don't like how next, like, whenever they need a story, they go to, oh, these guys know each other so well. They traveled the world together. They're such friends. I feel like they say that once an episode when they like don't have a backstory for somebody. They did that here. Well, they didn't have to. I think they just, you know, could have went with a straight match. Anyway, Prince Devitt, he's obviously Finn Balor. Excuse me. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Finn Balor is obviously a star. They have to do something about, like, you know, him coming out in the face paint and the, you know, his doing the gimmick with the Balor. It's a little theatrical, if you know what I mean.
Just
a little light on the loafers, you know, like a. But it's good. The match in general was excellent. I still don't know why he wears that face paint. I wish they gave some story to it instead of that he's creative. But good match. 9 out of 10 would do again. Rob, what do you think?
I thought all around it was a great match. So far, a match of the year candidate.
What are you
really
talking
good.
About?
You just gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I thought it was match of the year candidate, too. Sorry. Go on, my friend.
I thought they're both really good. Neville's really good. The impact, they go at a really good pace when they wrestle each other. It looks kind of very believable. It's high impact. You know, they just gel really well. They both tell a story really well. Like you said, Balor is definitely a superstar already. I hope he stays healthy. Neville, I don't know if he'll. I mean, he obviously has great talent and ability. He's small, but he's built. I just don't know what gimmick they'd give him on the main roster, and how far he'd progress. Obviously, if you threw him back in like WCW cruiserweight days, the guy'd, you know, be all over the place. I don't know how much further the main roster is going to be pushing guys like that.
I think he's dead in the water. But
he relies
exactly.
too much on his in-ring ability, I think. You know, which is it's a horrible thing to say, but I mean, to his own detriment, that's what he's really, really good at. I just don't know if he's really good at anything else. But with Balor, you have you can see him doing different things and not just in-ring work. He could be having a feud with Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? He could be having all kinds of feuds with people. You could see him kind of, you know, your favorite dream booking match of him being Sheamus' cousin, you know, the newsie with the newsboy's cap coming out. Match was fantastic, though. I like the theatrics. I mean, they don't really do that anymore. It's pretty cool. And I'm sure they'll change it up eventually, but it's different, and it's better than anything else people that are doing theatrical-wise. Chris, what do you think?
I thought this was an excellent match. If it wasn't for the Divas match, I would have thought this was the match of the night. But it was an, you know, excellent back and forth match with good pace. As far as, you know, it started a little slow, but you know, obviously that was intentional because they did get time in this match, and, you know, and it built to a stronger and stronger, faster pace as the match went on. Good number of high spots.
Like
good
this podcast.
Storytelling in the match, and that like Devitt drop kick where he sends you flying into the turnbuckle looks incredible, and I really enjoyed that a lot. I kind of expected you know Devitt to win this match both because right, I think he's clearly going to be an emerging superstar, and I think Neville is going to make his way to the main roster soon. So I expected this to play out the way it did, but yeah, just. a good solid wrestling, you know, match. You know, and I would expect nothing else from these two, given, you know, their experience and just how talented they are. So good time. Go out of your way to watch this one if you haven't seen it.
For sure. Now we only have 5 minutes left. Do you mind if we kind of gloss over?
No, we can go as long as we want, dude.
Oh man. All right, let's talk about the lady.
Oh, we really can go as long as we want now? This is unbelievable.
Well, we can go up to 2 hours.
Why did we do this shirt?
I mean, we're not going up to 2 hours because I'm going to sleep, but we don't have to stop.
One more hour.
We're doing a podcast this weekend, no matter what. We are.
I can't.
All right, then it will just be me and Chris. Right, Chris?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Chris, you can call in at some
point. Chris had to think about that one.
Chris was thinking about jacking off Fergal Devitt. That's why he didn't respond readily.
He was thinking about jumping off a bridge before doing a podcast with
you.
The
person who is staring at Seth Rollins' penis all day.
I didn't stare.
Dude, you were comparing his.
I could stare at my own. It'd be like looking into a penis mirror.
Or just a regular mirror.
Boom!
I mean, like a penis constructed mirror. Rob, I really liked your idea about, basically just hooking up two unbelievable wrestlers with, you know, unbelievable charisma and good in-ring talent. But Fergal Devitt, Bray Wyatt, that would be a great feud.
Imagine Fergal Devitt came out dressed as Bray Wyatt. How great would that be?
That would ruin.
Or Bane? I know, that'd be horrible. Imagine it came out as Bane.
He did come out as Bane in Progress in Scotland. I mean, it was awesome.
That was the greatest moment of your life, right?
It was up there.
Since we have so much time now, I did read how Devitt is kind of really taking in a lot of the production values and stuff that he didn't really know about. I think there was an interview with Triple H where he said how Baylor's really, you know, gotten a lot of interest in kind of stuff with camera angles and effects and all this kind of stuff, and really things he didn't really know about. Or I think he's quoted as saying, when I was in Japan, they just told me to kind of come out, walk out, you know. I mean, I think it's going to progress. And, you know, with the dry ice is, you know, relevant, you know, when you think of The Undertaker coming out. I mean, imagine the Prince Devitt WrestleMania main event entrance, you know, just, I mean, 2-3 years on the line.
Yeah.
I think the opportunity is huge. So
we can all dream big. But anyway, so did you actually not watch the Divas match, Rob, or are you just being a troll?
No, I actually didn't. I had important business to attend to.
Masturbation?
Did you have to fart?
No, work email.
Oh, work. What's that like? Anyway, I'll say to you then first, you should watch this match because this was the best match tonight.
I promise I will.
It was a really great match. I loved every second of it. I wasn't bored. In fact, I was doing work emails while I was watching the match. And I had to put my work emails down. I sure hope my boss isn't listening for many reasons.
I don't think that's the one reason.
Yeah, but anyway, so I mean, look, obviously, women's matches, you know, typically, aren't the best. I mean, they're obviously good in NXT, and in a fatal four-way match is never an easy match to pull off, as far as it being very good, but this was all four women were really on top of their game.
What did you say? Women's matches aren't the best usually? What?
Typically.
Typically. Maybe I'm not talking about NXT, I'm just talking about in general.
Yeah, I'd say 98% or 99% maybe.
You guys are gay. Both of you. You're both gay. I always knew
Don't make the mute button again, goddammit. What I was trying to say is all women were on target today. They were hitting all their moves. There was no real botches. It was a good pace. Everyone got, you know, a good amount of time to get their stuff in. You know, it's a really great spots in the match. Belly to belly suplex off the top rope was very nice, and her Hurricane Rana was good too. That suplex early in the match that Becky Lynch gave to Sasha Banks was brutal. Just a really, really good match. Just a really good all-around match with good, like I said, good. Everything was good, and it's one. I think you have to give a lot of credit to Sarah Del Rey. She's doing a great job with the Divas down in NXT. She's giving them all a really good wrestling arsenal, and they're really putting on good matches. And it's so difficult, but it's so interesting to watch this and see that disconnect between the women's matches in NXT and, you know, what you get in the main roster. Like, everyone's talking about Charlotte coming up now, and it's like, why? So she can master the art of a 30-second bullshit match? You know, I just, like, it's almost, they're better off staying where they are, but be that as it may, just, yeah, great match, really, like I said, best of the night. You know, hats off to these four. Charlotte did take the pin in this match clean, and Sasha Banks, the new NXT Women's Champion. So, congrats to her. And you can tell she really, you know, it's really a big moment for her. So,
wait. I caught the very end of it where she was walking up the stage holding up a title, and I don't really know. It looked like she wasn't, like, too excited. And it's funny because you said you could tell she was really happy she won. I saw her, like...
Well, if you watch the...
The reaction looks really like it's not a big deal that she won.
Well, I mean, that's the character, like, you know. But if you look, like, in those few moments, like, after she first won, and if you watch the backstage interview that happened after the show, you can see it.
Well, it's good that she did it backstage and not, you know, on the ramp when she actually won it. It's sarcasm.
All right. Anyway, just watch.
And lastly, my last point before Shane talks about this great match. I read somewhere that Charlotte said, one, that one day she'll headline, was it Raw or WrestleMania?
I would assume Raw, because that's never going to happen at WrestleMania. Not until Vince McMahon is deceased. Does it even have a chance?
Yeah. And then another thing, I assume she didn't mean Raw. She said she'd headline a pay-per-view. And then
Main event
pay-per-view, main event WrestleMania, whatever. Same shit. And secondly, she's gotten into a Twitter feud with The Miz, which automatically makes me like her.
Because The Miz did that awesome spot on Raw where he... told Damian Sandow not to do the figure four because that's the move that he made famous. That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this is a foreshadowing. I mean, yeah, eventually I think she'll put him in a figure four. But
we'll see. I would assume we'll see her on the main roster soon. Shane, what'd you think of this match, buddy?
I mean, just what you said. I thought it was great. I thought the Bayley and Charlotte, I guess, spot on the Becky Lynch when she did like a code breaker. I thought that was awesome. Like, I marked out for that. I marked out for the double knee drop from Sasha. I like legit marked out a few times during this match. I thought it was great. Becky Lynch is easy on the eyes. Her voice is horrible. I'd rather listen to the death rattle of my own baby than listen to her talk. But she looks good.
Would you rather listen to her or listen to this podcast? That's the real question.
I would rather listen to Rob whisper sweet nothings into my ear than Becky Lynch's voice.
Well, that's not going to happen, so.
I just thought it was a good match. I really like Sasha. I said it last week. A couple of weeks ago. Somebody called me a mark. But she's really good. I like her character, too, the boss. Done before, like I said, but... Again, she does it really well. And then I don't know what Rob was talking about at the end. Yeah, she looked really happy. It was a great moment. I really liked it. Whoever booked that match, do we know who books these matches? I thought that was booked really well. like how they, you know, at the end they were going for, she was going for a submission, then she just did the small package and pinned her. I thought it was really creative booking. I don't want to give it too much credit because they're just, like, doing the opposite of what they always do. You know, anyone could be a contrarian. But still, give them credit for just a good match.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sasha Banks is a great bitch character. And did you know that she's a pair? I didn't even know this until recently. Apparently she's, like, Snoop Dogg's niece or something like that.
Yeah, I'll just file that in my file of stuff I don't give a shit about.
I did the same thing at the same time. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who cares? You hurt your feelings, Chris? I'm sorry.
Are you going to mute both of us?
No, I'm not going to mute both of you. But go ahead and move on to the main event.
Why are you so upset?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm not upset. I'm just saying, that's the last match that we have left to discuss.
No, I can tell you're audibly frustrated.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chris. We didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Chris, I'm sorry. Let's get on with the podcast amicably.
Please. Rob,
you
want to talk about
the
last
night
match, or did you not watch it?
I skipped that one, too. The main event was Chris versus Shane.
Which one am I?
Chris, you have a background or history, I'd rather say, with these two guys, with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Give us a little bit of background, because you know you're the expert in that field. And we have time.
Oh yeah, we all grew up together. No, I mean I've seen them before, and they've always had a great rivalry. I mean, I followed pretty closely their year-long feud in Ring of Honor, and it was excellent. It was the feud of the year in 2010, I believe. Look, these guys always do great things, and this was no exception. This match was more, I've seen them have amazing in-ring matches. This match wasn't that. But it wasn't supposed to be that. It was obviously still a very good in-ring match, but this was more of a telling a story match. There wasn't a lot of back and forth with big spots and things like that. It was really the story of Owens just beating the shit out of Zayn for 90% of the match, and him kind of the story of him of how dominant Owens is or can be. And that was really just what this match was about. And it's really because you know there's going to be more. And eventually they'll have that crazy match that we've seen before where it's going to be a back and forth, a lot of big spots, great, an amazing in-ring performance. That's going to happen down the line. This wasn't that, but it was still a very solid match, very good, very to watch. And like I said, the storytelling in this match was phenomenal. And, ends in a very different way, something you don't see very often of basically a TKO, a referee stoppage, where he just beats him senseless.
Wait a second. Kevin Owens, KO? I just realized that.
Yes. Yes, you are quick, my friend.
Whoa, he has a T-shirt that says KO on it.
Are you serious, Rob?
I think I see where they're going with this, guys. Now, real quick, I'm sorry to cut you off because I had this, Nirvana moment of enlightenment. The opening package to this definitely reminded me of me and Shane. Shane, I actually started tearing up all the pictures of me and you all over the world.
We have traveled Long Island and Queens to go to the finest international buffets. So
true.
It actually was a little nostalgic for me. That's true. Yeah, yeah.
We would just drink carafes of free white wine and then get, banned for life. But, yeah, no, the opening package was cool. Everything you said, Chris, was already on point. I think I agree with your – and Shane, the whole storytelling thing. And Shane, I liken this to kind of like the Batman and Joker and how, we're just – they're just bound to repeat to do this for the rest of their lives until one of them is dead.
I thought it was, yeah. I mean, I thought Chris actually summed it up well. when he said, I thought that we were going to see more sparks in the match, but Chris, right, it wasn't about that. It was just like telling a more specific story. I think I know they're so high on Kevin Owens out because he's selling merchandise. Like, I still see major problems with him, like when he gets up to that roster. I don't know. We're going to have to see. I'm excited to see the KO Finn Balor match. Can you believe we're getting that match? Like, that's a dream match, sort of. They probably met in the indies somewhere, but, I mean, that's a match that everybody wants to see, and it's just going to be, you know, on the network on NXT. I mean, I said before in this podcast, like, Triple H should take the good and the bad with him. I mean, this is the good. Like, this show's being done just really well. And once again, I want to know who books these matches. I might write a letter or a call the WWE and ask them, because they're being booked well. Like, the KO at the end, you know, like I said, I don't want to give a whole lot of credit because they're just doing the opposite of what they normally see, but they deserve a bunch of credit for just doing that. Like, I'm not going to go to one of my huge...
It's sad that we're basically saying they're doing an amazing job because they're doing common sense things that wrestling bookers have done since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, very good. I mean, my two favorite things in this match had to be one, the spot at the very beginning where Owens kept ducking out, and then Zayn ends up flying over the rope over the referee to get to him. That with the flip, that was excellent. And I also enjoyed when the trainers were checking on Sami Zayn when a Z-Pack chant started.
I like how someone's gonna kill themselves. Fuck. I like how someone's gonna kill themselves eventually on that metal ramp. It's just horrible place. Steen went over what was it, like a moonsault? What did he do? A senton bomb.
That was
pretty impressive. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite moments. I love watching him fly.
Yeah, and actually, I from what I understand, he can't really do it much anymore because his knees. But I mean, his early indie days, I mean, that dude, he was a similar size to what he is now, and you know, he would do 450s and moonsaults and shit too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've seen him do it.
Fat ass.
That's not nice.
I tell him
anyway.
Like it is.
All right.
Now, how about Kevin Steen, Bray Wyatt feud? What do you guys think about that?
You can just say Bray's going to feud with anyone and it'd be a legitimate thing. That's like cheating. You can't just say that.
I'm serious. The Finn Balor one would be pretty cool. Just think of the entrances at WrestleMania, like Bray's entrance and then Wyatt, and then Bray gets to the ring and Balor's already there. Or Finn Balor versus Sting.
They throw you out. They'd be like, Roberto, not another Bray Wyatt feud. It'd be your only idea.
Bray Wyatt,
true.
Undertaker, guys. Think about
the,
it.
Steen and Wyatt are both heels. So.
Heel versus heel is the best match there is.
Yep. I agree. It's very entertaining often, but you know, they don't do it often, and it's not always the best. But you know, how often do you see heel in WWE?
I mean, they started doing it when Triple H, Mankind, and Stone Cold were around, like during King of the Ring tournaments, and with Goldust, you'd have heel versus heel. Invader, I mean, that's actually right before the McMahon Attitude Era, and that was a big part of it. You know, you have face, heel.
Yeah,
I think they need to get back more of that.
20 years
we're
ago.
But now booking, as we were kind of talking about this, now everything has to have a storyline. It used to just be like, Raw starts with a match, and there's a match because someone made this match. You know, like, now it's like there has to be a storyline, there has to be a reason, and it has to be a horrible reason, jammed down our throats and explained 50 ways backwards, and it'll not make sense for a match to happen. And then the match has to suck or be too short, and then they got to do it again the same way, and they just, you know, repeat over and over and over. I think that's why NXT, and you, someone touched on it before, like Shane did with the booking, is it's fresh and it's different, and it's smaller. It's because it's a shorter show, so they have to, like you said, the 3-hour shows. Chris, you say it over and over every week. It's that there's too much time that they have to have filler, and it's just so much bullshit, you know. And it outweighs the positive.
Yeah, the show definitely cuts the fat, which is good, and you get a much better product out of it. So
I'm done ranking.
Who would you say has the in the next NXT roster is going to have the most success in the WWE?
Rhino. No, definitely Finn Balor.
What?
Finn, he definitely has the ability, and he may very well go that high. Whether I think, unfortunately, given especially if he comes up during the Vince McMahon era before he kind of steps away, Baron Corbin, just because of his look and size, will probably
who
get
do you think
a good run.
Who in NXT could main event WrestleMania?
Balor could.
There you go.
What?
Now, I have another question. Important
what?
Question. There's rumors
what?
About... Can you mute Shane? There's rumors
what?
About... Chris, mute
Shut
Shane.
The fuck up!
Just mute Shane.
Shane.
There's rumors about a possible... And I said this a while ago. How they should have NXT matches on WWE pay-per-views. And there's talk about having a... Maybe like a Money in the Bank style or ladder match at Mania. Like, what would you guys think of either a 3 or 4-way dance? Doesn't have to be a ladder match, but that'd be great. For the title, they have Baylor, Zayn, Neville, Tommy, and Balor all in the ring at once. That'd bring the house down, I think. Fantasy booking at its finest. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm of two minds about something like that, and I think I'd love to see them showcased like that on WrestleMania, but at the same time, I worry that given how much is going on at WrestleMania, plus the fact that they're not as known as, you know, main roster guys, that they would get lost in the shuffle, and I wouldn't want to see that for them. So I'm very on the fence about something like that, but what do you think, Shane?
Am I off mute?
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, I guess I don't, like, have too much of an opinion on it. I mean, I think, like, I think it would be okay. They just have to, like, don't you feel it's sort of weird? Like, it's the WWE. Like, I felt the same way during the brand split, even though I like those shows. But there's something when it's not cohesive like that, where it's just like, so is it Next or is it WWE? So Next is, like, a subculture in WWE. They're lesser than... the WWE stars, why are they breaking it up like this? Like, and I think that disconnect, I mean, as much as people think they understand it, like, it doesn't sit well with the audience. Don't have one, like, it goes back to the storyline. Like, when you don't have one story, like, there's no story about the WWE. Like, what?
You don't need that. I just ranted about that. Name one good storyline, like, or story that...
Or have you breaking up?
Okay, name one good storyline or story that WWE's told in the last 2 years.
What?
Anyway, sorry, but no. Yeah, and the brand split was stupid. Because they handled it horribly, and then these horrible storylines. From the draft, like, I'll take Cade at number two. No, why the fuck would you pick Kane?
And why are they picking these wrestlers to, like, fight each other? Like, they're not fighting with Raw. Why did they have a draft? Like, what is
the
worst
pick ever.
Why are we discussing the WWE draft,
like,
is a better question.
It's like, wait, shut up, everyone. It's like when you play kickball when you're a little kid, and you have two team leaders, and they both pick sides, and then each side goes and plays against each other and distributes evenly.
Anyway, let's see. So I guess that pretty much takes, you know, us through TakeOver. Apparently Triple H this time from Reddit is getting a ham instead of a fruit basket. But let's see, what else do we want to talk about? You know what, actually, I wanted to talk about briefly. I don't want to go too much longer because I actually have to go to sleep and go to work tomorrow. What are your thoughts on Rikishi getting into the Hall of Fame? Do you have any thoughts on that whatsoever?
Not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
No,
bro,
I can't hear you.
Sucks. I don't think
she's
in the Hall of Fame.
Why don't you go first then?
Well, I guess you shouldn't have called him me anyway, because I don't care. I mean, whatever. He's in the Hall of Fame. Who cares? It's the WWE Hall of Fame. I have a good shot of getting in the Hall of Fame next year. I swear I do. They're really running out of superstars when they're putting in, like, mid-card, like Rikishi. Rob, what do you think, if you have a phone that works?
Yeah, I don't think he belongs in the Hall. I mean, I understand they put anyone in there. Drew Carey's in it. So, Jane, you do have a shot. I don't think he's a one-time Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, and a one-time, he's been a tag champion more than once, but they only referenced once because he was only a tag champ once as Rikishi. I think he was also a tag champ when he was the Head Shrinkers,
The guy's known for sticking his giant ass in people's faces.
Like, right, well, this week is all about Seth Rollins' dick and Rikishi's ass. But he does not belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. And the only reason he's going in is because it's where his sons are right now. But, yeah. The WWE Hall of Fame doesn't mean much. I mean, fucking Coco Beware is in the WWE Hall of Fame. He does not deserve to be in there. He is not a Hall of Famer. And while they are, you know, you could say, oh, they're running out of people to put in, I could think of at least 20 to 30 other people off the top of my head that deserve a spot in the Hall of Fame before Rikishi. So just another...
Name two?
Is that it? That's all you want is two?
Yeah, that's it.
I bet you they're not alive.
No, I would put in Barry Windham. Barry Windham.
No, Barry Windham deserves to be in there.
Obviously a lot that are deceased. Vader. All right, yeah, no, Vader. I'll put him in there. There are a lot of deceased ones. You know, Owen Hart, British Bulldog.
Hey, I have some trivia. You guys want trivia section? No?
Sure.
Yes?
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
Why? Baby Boy Smith. Do you know why they called him Baby Boy?
Why?
Because on his birth certificate, the nurse was an idiot and wrote, like, boy. You know, where you write boy, girl, as a name accident. So his name went through as David Smith as Davy Smith.
I see. I think I've heard that before. That was fascinating.
Brian Pillman deserves to be in. Is Kurt Hennig in?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think he is.
A lot of dead wrestlers deserve to be in there. Chris Benoit.
I mean, what about the person who was rumored to be going in this week instead of Rikishi, Ray the Crippler Stevens?
I don't really know much about him. I think it was more a thing because where they're in his old territory. I don't really know much about him, but...
Yeah. Shit, I would put Mr. Fuji in before I put fucking Rikishi.
I think Fuji's in. Fuji went in.
Oh, okay.
I remember him on stage.
The point is, it's just devaluing that maybe even more, so...
But we could think about this. This is going to be your homework for our next show. Come up with two or three living wrestlers that maybe we haven't mentioned.
That deserve to go into the Hall of Fame?
Sure.
Stan Hansen to go in?
I have a couple good ones right now.
Can't wait.
Dean Malenko.
I'm not sure, yeah. What?
Arn Anderson.
Well,
Malenko's
he's technically in with the Horseman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is Dean Malenko in because of the Horseman? No, he was in, like, the new Horseman.
No, they only inducted Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham, Ric Flair version of the Horseman.
Vicious.
What a horrible version of the Horseman. What a horrible version of poor men.
The best version of the Horseman, actually.
Sting, The Undertaker.
Right, but they're going to go in next year, probably, right? I would think.
Mm-hmm. They're saying The Undertaker is in really bad shape, that he might not wrestle this year at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, we've had that discussion already about whether he should come back and if Bray Wyatt should be the person who fights him.
Guys,
by the way,
did
you guys watch SmackDown tonight?
No.
I haven't watched it yet, but I heard a rumor of a Big Show face turn.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
He'll be healed by the time Raw starts, don't worry.
I'm not sure.
He'll heal at a house, though.
I don't want to hear that.
What about and his anti-bullying ad? What's that?
Are either of you guys still there?
I'm here. But we're turning the pumpkin tonight. So.
Rob, your phone.
Rob? Shane?
I'm turning in. I'm here.
I can't hear you guys.
All right, on that note, good night, guys.
Got you. I heard you. Okay. Sorry, say what you were saying again. What the hell's wrong with my shit? I don't know if it's my phone or yours.
What?
Let's end it. End the call. End the podcast.
Yeah, good night, guys. It's 12 all right, o'clock all right, tonight. All
right. So before we end the show, let me just ask what was your...
No, before we end shit, nothing. What are you talking about?
All right. It was going to be a two-second question, but go ahead. All right.
Do it.
All right,
do it.
No,
all right,
I want to do
go
it now. I want to do it. Go.
Go ahead. No, I'm not asking now, so you can go fuck yourself.
No, don't be a baby. Just ask the question.
I was going to ask you as we left just what I actually already know the answer, so I don't need to ask. But all right, so this was our first time doing a longer show, and this is going to be more of the format going forward, but we hope you enjoyed this horrible episode of the Barbershop Window podcast. They're all horrible, but this one was especially horrible. You can listen to our past episodes at blogtalkradio.com.
Ask the question now. Ask the question.
Shut the fuck up, or I'm gonna. That's right. You're off again. Sorry. iTunes and Stitcher. You follow us on Twitter. You can find me at @IMCVigilante. Rob's at Zanzinator. Shane's at ShaneWinter14. And just keep listening, keep supporting the show, tell people about us, help us spread the word, and we will try our best, as always, to do much better shows than this next time out. If you want to drop us an email with any comments, questions, or just telling Shane how horrible he is, or Rob or myself, that you can drop us an email at barbershopwindowpodcast@gmail.com. But tonight, for Rob and Shane and myself, good night, everyone out there.
Good night, guys.
Good night. What?